and which now, at his appointed season, he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. Amen? Amen. What a wonderful day it is that God has allowed us to be blessed to live yet another day. That we might worship him in spirit and in truth and give him all the glory that he's due, for he is God, and we are his people. We are his children. Amen. Amen. So this morning, this lesson, I want to try to get you to look past 431. Trying to get you to look past Franklin Street and look to see God. To focus your eyes on things that you just can't see. Maybe your mind set on things that are above where God is. I want to try to shift your mind to where God is this morning. You know, too often influences that control the minds of Christians stem from the values of godless forces. Too many times the influences of Christians stem from the pleasures of godless forces. And too many times, the influences that control the minds of Christians stem from the standards of those that are godless forces. And many of these forces which we entertain in our hearts and minds are proudly unashamed of the fact that they don't even pretend to be godly. When I study the Bible and the concepts and the ideas behind God's word, behind his godliness and the spirituality that he has presented to us, I look at some common concepts that we have as a church, and I look at the godliness and the spirituality that is among us, and sometimes I have to wonder, are not our concepts too often based on church membership? Are not our concepts too often based on church attendance? Are not our concepts of godliness and spirituality too much based on church programs? You see, to me, they're not based on being something, being the person that God has called you to be. They're based on doing something. So if we do not consider doing right things, or rather, if we do consider doing the right things, can we justify our presence at this Christian assembly at 431? How do we justify our presence at this building and then live and behave like people who have no spiritual interests at all? None. I want to show you something, just a quick peep into the mind of God in the book of Jeremiah chapter 7. If you turn there with me for a second, I want to read this into your hearing. Jeremiah chapter 7. And the Bible says to us from Jeremiah chapter 7, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. But you are trusting in deceptive words, words that are worthless. And then verse 10 says, and come and stand before me in this house, which bears my name, and say, we are safe because we're in the church. We are safe because we're in the temple. We are safe. What do all these detestable things mean? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I've been watching, declares the Lord. God says, I've been looking at you. It's Christian insanity to me to live like you want to, then run to the church. It's Christian insanity to me to live like you want to and not be the church. You see, it becomes a practice of religion, not reformation. It becomes a practice of religion and not a view of God with the mind. It's only a view of God with what the eyes can see. Too many people worship the building. What if 431 wasn't standing here? Where would we be? We might need a new building. Let me put that ad in right quick. We might need that. But what if we did not have 431 Franklin Street? If this edifice was not standing here, where would we run to? It's a practice of religion. Coming to church. It's a practice of religion. It's not reformation. And we do it without a spiritually sound mind. We do it as repetition, as routine, because we love the building more so than we love the God that gave us the church. This is not the Bible concept of Christianity at all, not the one that I read. I like to call it churchanity. Is the church important? Absolutely. And those who are in Christ are the church, and Jesus died so we could be the church. But we who are the church simply cannot look at life the same way as people who are not the church. Can't do it. We who seek to be godly, spiritual people in Christ cannot look at life and adopt lifestyles of people who have no interest in being godly or spiritual at all. If we think the difference is seen in church attendance, it's insane because we don't understand godliness. If we think the difference is seen in church membership, then we are insane because we do not understand spirituality. If we think the difference is just in a different set of rules for 431 and no one else, then we're insane because we don't understand what righteousness is that comes from God. The difference is, it's seen in the way that we use our lives. How do you use your life? Use it. We use life differently because we look at life differently. We look at life through these eyes and not through the heart that God has given us. We can't see spiritual things because we're not spiritual people. We only come to church. There's a difference between coming to church and coming to God. Amen? There's a difference in that. I want to tell you that in Matthew chapter 21, they had some people coming to church that felt like they belonged there. They went there with good intents in their hearts. But Jesus said they didn't belong there. In Matthew 21:12, the Bible says, "And Jesus went to the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple." You see, they had a different intent for coming to church. But they were there. They went. "And overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves." Jesus went to the house of God and saw that there were people that were there just because they wanted to be there. Because they had a different motive, a different intent. They didn't come there looking for God. There's no end, at least in my mind, to the different ways that people look at the church. There's no end in my mind to the different ways people look at life. Because people view the existence in this world through very different sets of eyes. They view the church through different set of eyes instead of viewing the church through the scripture, the very word of God. We view it through our own carnal eyes, and we can't ever see God because the church is blocking our view. Even when people look at the same circumstances and find themselves in the same situations, they have two totally different views of what they see. To some people, the cup is always half empty. No matter what the circumstances are or what the situation is, they always seem to think that life just stinks. You know anybody like that? Trouble is always around him, chasing him like a vicious dog. Problems just cling to him like ticks on a dog as well. Tragedy comes in their lives and just rains on them all the time. They always have this dark cloud hanging over them, so they think. And when something good happens, they can't even enjoy it. Because they're spending time wondering when the bad is going to come again. If they win $1 million, they're not satisfied because they got to pay the taxes. Someone is kind to them, they look around and wonder, what is he up to? What's that person trying to do to me? To them, life is just not good. So look for the bad in every situation, and that to me is insanity. To some people, life is wonderful. I'm okay and you're okay. Everything is wonderful. If trouble chases them, it's because they irritated the dog, and that's why the dog is chasing them. If problems cling to them like ticks, it's because they were laying down among the ticks. If tragedy falls on them like hailstones and storm, it's because they were storm chasers. That's how they look at it. Life is just naturally good to them. Bad things don't happen unless you invite them into your life. They never look at life and see anything bad. I'm okay, you're okay, and that's insanity. That's insanity as well. I mean, people look at things differently. Three men were involved in the same crash, the same accident. And all three men got their hips broken. All three of them. But they don't look at it the same way. After the crash, one man lives in fear all the time. He never wants to get into an automobile ever again. He wants to walk everywhere he goes. Not believing he can get hit on the sidewalk today, huh? Everywhere he looks, he sees something threatening his life. A second guy lives in anger all the time. He's mad that he got in that accident because he shouldn't have been in the car in the first place. Everything is a conspiracy against him. And the third man, he learns from his experience. The crash and the recovery made him a wiser, more insightful man and made him grateful to God that he is alive. My question is, how can the same crash in the same automobile at the same time, which caused each man to break their hip the same way, produce different reactions? Because it wasn't a crash, that's why. It was the mindset. It was the way that these three men viewed life. Because the way we look at life molds the way we live our lives, and it molds the way we look at God. Are our lives built around the church? Are our lives built around God? Don't run into the temple after you've done everything you want to do out there in the world and say, the temple of the Lord is, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is this. Save me, God. It's Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. He saves all of us. Saves us. And he puts us into the church, which is a spiritual institution from God. It's not 431 Franklin. I want you to see beyond that. Can I get you to see beyond this building? Too many times in life we've heard situations where people were going to their jobs in the morning and the doors were chained and locked. And there was a sign on the door, we closed. Here comes Sunday morning, we come to the building, there's a chain on the door. Brother Banks and Brother Reed, you ain't got a chain on that door. They ain't gonna think about what else might have happened. All right, Brother Banks and Brother, what they doing? Let me call them up. Because we want to be in the church building. Doesn't matter where God is. We want to be in the church. And that's what everybody in the world wants to do. We can't think like people in the world. The people in the world, to them, going to church is a religion. We are Christians. We don't go to church. We are the church. The faith of Christians, the faith of a humble heart, must maintain the activity of the life that's so lived in Christ. So you ask yourself the question, is it churchianity or is it Christianity? You ask yourself the question, are you a Christian or just somebody that goes to? You with me? Anybody can go to church, right? If your answer is yes, that you're a Christian, I got to ask you this question. Is it not obvious that that something is basically incorrect with our concept of our Christian existence? Isn't it obvious that something is basically incorrect about our concept of the church, our concept of spirituality? It's obvious to me that something is basically incorrect with that concept. Because we practice religion instead of Christianity, because that's what we grew up in. We brought all that baggage back into church, just like the money changers, looking for something else and never looking for God. There are a number of Christians in this congregation. Some are who are in leadership roles and some who serve all the time, who look around and say it's obvious that some of our basic things in the church are incorrect. But why don't they say anything about it? We read the same Bible. We serve the same God. We're going to be buried in the same ground. We shop at the same grocery stores. Tell me if I'm wrong. In love. Show me God's word in love and allow me to understand who I am in Christ. Don't let me just come to church. Allow me to get to know you so that we collectively, as God has called us, can be the church. To me, what is obviously incorrect about the way we look at our Christian existence and the church and our spirituality is far more basic than what we call church practices. It's more than that. It's our state of mind that determines our view of our Christian experience. It's our state of mind that determines our view of the church. It's our state of mind that determines our view of spirituality. It's not just doctrine or church practices. We serve a true and a living God. Paul says, look around you. God made all things. In him we live and breathe and have our being. Yet you have a monument to an unknown God. What is this monument going to do for you? What is this building going to do for you, this monument that represents the Church of Christ? What's it going to do for you? Or do you not know that you are the temple of God? And what do you represent as the temple of God? I want to say some things this morning that I need you to consider in your minds and in your hearts. I want you to consider these things. It might sound a little insane, a little churchianity, but it's true. And I want you to understand that I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I want to make that very clear. Not talking about any specific situation or any specific person, because I know that these things that I'm going to say are commonplace in all of our lives. They're facts, and they're incorrect with our spiritual concepts of Christianity. They're incorrect with our concept of the church, and incorrect with our concepts of spirituality. There are a lot of people who sit in on Sunday mornings and view their Christian existence in the church and spirituality as a matter of an image that they have to project. Got to project that. I came to church. Did you see me last Sunday? Everyone in the family knows the rules. Everybody knows the rules. Here's rule number one, projecting an image of the church. Rule number one, all family arguments on Sunday morning stop when we're within 1 mile of the church building. We can fight like cats and dogs at home. We can argue in the car any other time, but on Sunday morning, within 1 mile of the church building, you better shut that down. Rule number two, when we get out the car, everybody must act like we are one big happy family because we're going to church. But we're not. But everyone must act like that on a Sunday morning because we at the church building. Rule number three, nobody can say anything to anyone about our family problems. You just better not say it. Not to anyone that goes to Franklin anyway. You better not walk up in here and tell anybody what happened to us at the house at Franklin Street. You better not do it. That's rule number three. Forget about that God sees us and God's looking at us. It's not about visitation at the building. It's visiting God through prayer that we might be made righteous in his sight. Our concepts are skewed just a little bit. And if you say anything to anybody at Franklin about what's going on in our lives, when we get out of church, Because you know we got to fake it. We got to make it look right. It's about image. There are too many of us who think that lifestyle of drinking or drugs or addictions have no relevance to spirituality. We don't think about it at all. There are those who think that pornographic habits have no influence on our effect on our Christian experience. There are too many who have concluded that fleshly gratification outside of marriage has nothing to do with faith in Christ. All that's okay. Why? Because we go to church all the time, don't we? All the time. I'm telling you, when I was growing up as a little boy, I didn't understand this. Why this guy all the time would walk by the Catholic church. We had this big Catholic church, boy, in Gramercy, still there. And he would be drinking down, wine in one hand, beer in the other one. I mean walking, getting it. But just as soon as he got in front of that building, put the bottles and the can behind his back and walked on by. And once he got past that building, it was on again. My question to you is, what is it that you turn off when you come to the building? What is it that you don't do when you're walking by because you think that God is there? The children of Israel had the same problem. They ran out and did all that they wanted to do. They lived the way they wanted to live. Their minds were reprobate. But they ran back to the temple and said that, you know what? We're safe here. We're safe at the building. The building will not be there on the day of judgment. We will have to face the same God that's looking at us right now. Right now. It's insanity to think that we can do and say whatever we want to say and that God is not looking at us. Because we go to church all the time, don't we? You know, sometimes Christians we get our lives in a mess. We inflict pain on ourselves and we struggle with the consequences of ungodly lifestyles because we allow godless people to influence us. We allow godless situations to influence us. We allow godless people to shape our lives and our view of life. Let me say this as plainly as I know how to say it. Number one, too many Christians willing to look at life in the same way that people who don't belong to God look at life. Too many of us do that. Number two, too many Christians willing to look at spirituality the same way that people who are not spiritual look at spirituality. Number three, too many people willingly look at the church in the same way that people who have no desire to be the church look at the church. Big, beautiful building. The Spirit of God does not live there. Creflo Dollar got a whole block in Atlanta. God is not there. But it's filled to the seams as standing room only, and God is not. There are too many Christians who are willing to look at our Christian experience in the same way that people who don't want to be Christians look at the Christian existence. They don't want to be Christians, and they don't want you to be a Christian either. Too many Christians hunger to live their lives just like people who are not godly, and they just add going to church along with it. That's a little side note. Well, I go to church, don't you? Man, we had a good time last night, but you going to church Sunday? Sure, I'm going to be there. How about you? I may go to bed by 2 o'clock, but I'm going to be at church. It's spiritual insanity to look at life as godless people do. It's spiritual insanity to look at life like people who don't belong to God do. Here's one for you. What about the lack of church attendance? Is that not insanity as well? What about people who just refuse to? Am I talking about Sunday night? Maybe Wednesday. Sunday morning is the gold standard, isn't it? Boy, if you come to Sunday morning and you all dressed to the nine and you ready to go, you know good and well you're going to heaven by 6 o'clock if you don't go to church. Churchianity, it's insanity, can't you see? We don't view God with the same eyes that we view the world. We can't do that. We've got to look at God through the eyes of our hearts. Here's one basic truth that is fundamental to our spiritual existence. One truth I'm going to give you. When a person is converted to Jesus Christ, it changes the way he or she looks at life. It changes. And if yours hadn't changed, if you just worship in the church and not God, your life has not changed. You're not converted. Not converted. Paul to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Turn there with me. We want to look at this together. Then I'm going to get down, and we're going to have some church. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, God says these words. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of the heart, and they have become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in that way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former man of life, you lay aside the old self, because it's being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. You lay aside the old self, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You lay aside the old self and put on a new self, which is in the likeness of God, who has been created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. Put the old self aside. We can't look at life the same way as people who live godless lives. We can't do it. We can't look at life the same way people look at life who worship idols. Christians look at life differently. We see through the eyes of the heart. We feel differently. Christians have different values. Christians desire to be what God created them to be in Christ. They want to be different because Christ makes it possible for them to look at life differently. All of us in this building this morning look at church differently. There's 50 different views in here this morning about how we look at the church. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Don't make it about 431. I want you to see beyond that. I want you to see the Christ. No man comes to the Father. We might be suffering from a little churchianity, but it's insanity to think that God does not save our lives. Too often, the influences that control our minds come from the value of people that are godless. And we know they're out there. Too many times, the influences that control our minds as Christians come from pleasures of the godless that are out there. Too many times the minds of Christians are controlled by the standards of those that are godless. And most of these forces don't even pretend to be godly. They can care less about God, and they will tell you that. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 says these words. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in the heaven and things on the earth and things on the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. I just got to tell you this before we finish. You can't separate Christ from the church. You can't separate the church from Christ. But this building at 431 has nothing to do with that at all, because we are the church. Christ dwells in us. He lives in us. He has given us of his spirit. and he sees us. And he sees us. And he loves us. And God loves us. We say we love God, but we love going to church more than we love serving God. That's something you need to examine for yourself, because it's insanity to think that the church is going to save you. Amen? Now you can be saved in the church. That's different. Think about it for a second. Don't run into spiritual insanity. God says that Jesus is the Christ. There are a lot of men out there who have claimed to be the Christ. Spiritual insanity. God says, I've built only one church. And there's 1,000 churches out there right now that people are trying to worship God in, and it's not the church that Christ died for. That's spiritual insanity. Christ said in Ephesians 4, there's one Lord, one God, one faith, one baptism. There's one of everything that he has created spiritually for us that we might get to heaven, yet people want to go to other places and not even consider God. Because they're looking through the eyes of the flesh and not through the eyes of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Ephesians 2:8. It's by faith you have been saved. By faith you have been saved. It's nothing that you can do about it. God has given you that gift that you can be saved. It's up to you now to make up your mind and stop playing like you're going to church and be the church. And stop playing like you don't understand the truth that comes from God's gospel and become a part of the church. This is the invitation to those of you who have been playing church to repent of your sins and stop running to church with all those issues that you have and run to church with the service that God has allowed you to give to him. We come to church to worry God instead of to worship him, I think, sometimes. Where are you going? I'm going to my mom's house. I'm going to worry about fixing me something to eat. Grown man can work and go get his own Burger King. He ain't coming to tell his mama thank you for all the things she's done for him. Are we coming to church to thank God for this wonderful gift of life through Jesus Christ? Or are we coming to worry him? It's either worry or worship. Why are you coming? He says we must hear the word of God, John 6:45. It's written in the prophets, they should all be taught of God. Every man therefore that learned, has heard and learned of the word, comes to Christ. We got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God, John 8:24. I tell you, nay, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ and respond in kind, because demons even believe and they tremble. Why? Because they won't obey. You've got to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ to be found in Christ, to be found in the church. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. You can't just come to church and think that just because you're sitting on the premises that you got the promises of God. It doesn't work like that. Promises come as a result of you doing your part. God is faithful in his promises. He don't want any man to perish. But he wants us to come into repentance. You've got to repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. See, Paul had a problem with that. Paul was just, he was taking people out for the sake of the church until he met Christ in Acts chapter 9. Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? Well, who are you, Lord? I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting the church. Are you? Can't separate it. And no matter how long you sit there and think that you're a Christian and you're not in the church, you're not a Christian until you find yourself baptized in Christ for the obedience of his word. It's the only way you're going to do it. And once you become a believer in Christ, once you become baptized in Christ, you've got to live a faithful life. You can't go out there and live any way you want to live and then beat a path to the door of the church. What if you don't make it in? What if the brothers put the chains on the door? What you going to do? Fall down at the steps and say, well, Lord, at least I made it to the door. God is good, isn't he? I encourage any of you today who've been using your mind to see the things of the world and not to see God, who've been using your eyes to see the things of the world and not to see God, I encourage you to repent of your sins And I encourage those of you who have not baptized into Christ, if it's in the back of your mind to be baptized into Christ, let it run to the front of your mind. I'll meet you right here, and we'll baptize you in Christ right now for the remission of your sins, that you might be found in the church, that you might be the church, a people called for God. Don't let Satan hold you in your seats. If we can help you, come on, we stand and sing God's invitation song. Ooh.